Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
It was a bite-sized short and a movie, and there's no information.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But his IMDb kind of shows his like everything is very
journey.
Very black slanted and social media dealing with like racism and horror. It's very Jordan Peele-y. I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just like everything is very like we talking about blacks that
very Jordan Peele.
Insane that you would even have to qualify that you didn't mean it in a bad way.
I know.
Like, where is that coming from? That you said it's very Jordan Peele-y and you thought maybe we would think that was a bad thing.
It's clear that sometimes when Gerard sees stuff, he'll sometimes say, I don't know if he's ever said this on the pods, I don't want to call it out, but he'll sometimes say it seems like they're trying to emulate Jordan Peele or that like this is and that he doesn't see the connection between the look and style with the content. Like it just seems like it's trying to churn out something that's like Jordan Peele as opposed to it having its own unique voice or message.
Because
right?
What it is? Yes. James, it is that.
You.
And also what's so tough about it is I feel like because we still are trying to get more black diverse voices in media, our success rate is kind of like two huge black films. Moonlight, and then you got like Get Out. And those movies came out and has such a impact on the way that we light and dress black people on screen that, you know, you kind of can tell the influence of a drama when it comes to black people because they're probably going to look like Moonlight. If it's a horror movie, it's probably going to be Key and Peele. I mean, not Key and Peele. Jordan Peele-esque with like the commentary and the look of it. And it's, I think that's only because we just haven't had somebody else black come out and was like super successful. Like I don't want people to think I'm diminishing their work.
but it's still a product of everything we've been talking about, which is like once someone breaks through, then that becomes the standard. And like and for a lot of people of color, it's like this has to look and feel like the one that was popular before. Mm. And if it doesn't, then, you know, then like, I don't know if it's studios. I don't know if it's the creators. I don't know. I don't know where it's coming from. Maybe it's a combination of everybody, but it's not this thing where we can't have a Tim Burton and a Steven Soderbergh and a Steven Spielberg and a Quentin Tarantino. And
okay,
you know
what
I mean?
We can't have
direct look and style.
Right. The look of it.
We can't come in and be like, this is my voice with my thumbprint and it looks like this. It has to be like, it has to emulate what came before because there's the black slot that these places are, you know, giving their money to, that these places are giving their green lights to, that these places are, right? I mean,
I feel like it's just more that there aren't a lot of popular black directors that people would emulate their style. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that's the thing is the chicken or the egg. I can't tell if it's not. I think the struggle with me is I can never tell. And again, we all pitch things. Is sometimes I feel like you can pitch something or try to get something made that doesn't look like what already exists. And people are like, I don't get it. But if you go in and pitch like, this is them meets, you know, Moonlight. They're like, oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know. It just.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true of all Hollywood. And also welcome to Black Men Can't Jump on Patreon. we don't do transitions. Listen, I'm just thinking about the fact. Well, like they cloned Tyrone had a very specific style. Would you say that
I would say they cloned Tyrone had a very specific style.
But even that one, though, right, is like, is sort of trying to emulate, it's trying to be a version of blaxploitation, right?
So yes. Then would,
does that, it's sort of like, I want to see what this director does next, before. But
Quentin Tarantino, does Quentin Tarantino have his own style? Like, he emulates?
Yeah, so I was going to say what Bray says.
I think so, though, right? Because doesn't he?
I think he has a voice. I think Tarantino has a voice, but to Bray's point, I think because Tarantino jumps in every genre like that, you can't, like, I don't think he has a particular look. I think he just has, you know, his dialogue. Like, the thing about him is, like, his dialogue, his violence is what we know about Tarantino, but his look is.
And then he just takes the look of whatever he's, like, you know, doing at the time.
But I also think that this is why I say I think I need to see this person's next thing, because I think in addition to the mimicry of the style, there are things, there are things in the look, not just in the, like, voice and tone, that make things sort of, like, specifically, like, the way that he frames shots and the way that there are things that that are a look also, that I'm just like, oh, I want to see what this director, if this director is like, does a great job of, like, sort of playing in styles, and also there's a thing that remains consistent from the Clone Time.
I see what you're saying. If he,
do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get that. I get that. That makes sense. Like, yeah. And I think he didn't have, like, necessarily, like, a popular short film that came out first to kind of show what his look is. But yeah, I am curious to see what he does next.
Yeah. Hopefully he does get another project so that we do see that. And also, obviously, this is a film podcast. We review the films leading by. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. But you know that. What I wanted to say actually was just that, like, we have it's hard for directors to break through and be super popular to begin with. I will say that. And there are a lot of white directors who just imitate other white directors, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like because there aren't we don't have a lot of black directors who even get opportunities, let alone get the opportunity to do the thing that they want. It's to Jurassic Park, because, like, we still have, it's like Spike, it's still Spike Lee, you know, John Singleton, and then, you know, like, Jordan Peele.
Who's the modern day John Singleton? And there were a bunch of people trying to answer the question, and I don't know who I would say, but it's like John Singleton is his own, you know, like, but I think they mean, like,
who do we have? Like, yeah, who, I was going to say, what directors do we have that even get those kind of, you know, look, we've teamed up with Blank Check before, right? They've had that, the Blank Check term of, like, who are the black directors that even get that? You know what I mean? Like, Wes Anderson obviously gets his checks that he can do whatever he wants, and, you know, we have several white directors who get to do that. I feel like the black directors, I mean, right, you got, like, Ava DuVernay, you got Jordan Peele, and I don't even know if Ava DuVernay gets blank checks.
Yeah, and even that, I'm gonna say, even Nava, because Ava's last movie that came out, she talks about that poor woman, she talks about everything she went through and how she had to, like, get it made. I mean, also, that movie had no Oscar push. It is true. I do think Skylar may be right, but it's so funny.
Well,
Skylar said Antoine Fuqua, who,
and I think Antoine Fuqua works.
Yeah, but he's been making his own movies recently, but they're not. But I think the thing that you're getting at, Bray, which I think is very fascinating, is that I don't think we necessarily get the shot. Like, what's his name? There was a podcast I just started listening to, and he is so Oakland. But Ryan Coogler has started a podcast where he interviews, like, people.
Right. You would think Ryan Coogler would be one of those.
So Ryan Coogler, I do think, is one. Like, the fact that he has, with Michael B. Jordan, a fucking horror reconstruction era. I don't even know what it is, but it's like some horror. I don't know if it's vampire. I don't know what the fuck it is. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he can do it, and then hearing him and Jordan Peele talking about how they kind of got on, and the fact that, like, Jordan, after coming from, you know, Emmy win seasons of a big show, still kind of wasn't about to be allowed to direct the movie he wrote. You know what I mean?
And then, wild.
And then for Ryan got Fruitvale into Sundance, and then which was a big deal, but then Forrest Whitaker had to step in, who low-key, shout out to Forrest Whitaker. He's been helping Black people on the low for decades. I just think it's hard for us to get this shot because, like, I don't know, maybe what James was saying a little bit too, yeah, is that our shot is always tied to what someone else has done versus, like, we ain't got a Black Tim Burton because we just, like, are they going to let a Black person do some weird shit? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I purposely want to make a weird-ass looking movie.
And the reality, too, and obviously we're three distinct people and each of us have our own voice, and the voice you're listening to now sounds like, you know.
So, do we even do the voice? Sounds like
I mean, I'm just saying, obviously the voice
I love how he's working it.
Yeah, sounds like someone who, you know, honestly really loved watching Barney, you know, and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood growing up. And, if one of those TV characters jumped out of the screen and was like, follow me into this world, maybe I would. that's Jonathan Braylock.
That's so funny. I would probably fire him.
Not because I thought my parents were bad necessarily, but, you know, it's just like, I don't know. I kind of want to see what's happening over there. I think we are in an age now too where it's harder and harder for people to break through and become like, so much media, there's just this deluge of content, and even all the massive movies are still part of franchises and sequels, and so even if you do that, like, they kind of take credit away from you a little bit, and you can't just kind of own your own style necessarily. Like, by the time, like, Tim Burton got to kind of do his own movies, and then he got to do Batman, you know, then he got to do these huge movies, and then he got to go back to his style, you know. I don't really, it will be hard for us to just get, like,
but also,
I don't know,
those opportunities, and honestly, I do really mean this. I've been like watching, because I watch more YouTube now than I think I watch anything else. So I keep watching these videos on how people get their first directing job. And when it comes to Black people specifically, and I am including white women in this, because I know people are like, oh, it's hard for female directors. I think it is. But when you see how the movies are getting made and how the first shot is happening, it's almost like this assumption of they can do it. Because sometimes you hear about this director who did a short film, who went from a short film to like a $15, $20 million film. And you're like, how does that correlate that you just trust that this guy can do it? And I've heard it more so happening with white women now as well, whereas like you hear a story about, I mean, again, you hear a story about like Ryan Coogler, who is extremely successful, and just the hoops he had to go through to just get the film and develop it with Sundance. And then after that, get the film made, had to get Michael B., who at that time was the only dude he saw on TV. It's just like, it's just so much stuff, and it's still kind of continuing. So I just think, like, I think it's hard for someone to be extremely creative in this field if you are brown. Whereas like this movie may feel like the closest when we start talking about
it. Truly. It feels very creative. Yeah.
Truly.
But yeah. So you're saying like you not only need to like emulate someone else, but you also need the person above, like a Forrest Whitaker or a Mr. Crockett.
Oh my God, you felt it. You ain't like it either. You didn't like it either. Oh my gosh.
Is this the 20-minute mark? How long?
Yes, that was the worst.
No transitions. We're in the podcast.
We're in the podcast.
What is that? I gotta see how long it's been. Time. Yes, we're 15 minutes in and he did that. Wow.
It's a long preview. It's a long preview. Wow. Guys, thank you so much for listening. obviously, today we are reviewing the film Mr. Crockett. It's a Hulu original. It is a horror film.
A friend like you is a friend like me. And a friend like me is a friend like us is a friend like we.
When we get together, something.
Yo, I've heard these. I have to just say real quick. I have tried to watch this movie several times, but each time I was too many drinks in to finish the whole thing. But But every time I would wake up at that last sound at the end of the movie, every time, and I've heard those end songs so many times. Those songs were fire, okay? Fire! The song fire. Fire!
This film was directed by Brandon Espy. It was co-written by Brandon and Carl Reed. And I feel like a relatively... Okay, so let's see. We got Jerika Hinton.
Yeah. Who I was like, I think I know this actor, but I feel like I must only know her from like ads for Grey's Anatomy, but not for...
Oh, she's in Grey's Anatomy.
Like, I haven't seen her in anything, but I
yeah.
feel like I know her
face.
Oh,
she's really in Grey's Anatomy. Okay. She's in 117 episodes.
Yeah. So I feel like I must, like, through osmosis, you know?
But, like, it's like Grey's Anatomy, she was in Grey's Anatomy from 2012 to 2017. The fact that this show has been running this long is...
It's been on for over 10 years.
No, it's been...
I mean, this show was on when I was in high school. So this show has been on for a very long time.
The season number, they're in the 20s, right? They've reached...
Yeah.
Wow. And is the main... Is Grey...
And it's not...
It's still Grey.
It's soap opera-ish, but it's on primetime. That's the thing that's crazy about it.
Primetime soap.
Wow.
But yeah, so that's her big thing. If you are an avid Grey's Anatomy watcher, you will know... Jerika, but she has not done many movies. She's done a lot of TV. She was also in the show Hunters that was on Amazon. She was in the show Servant on Apple TV. But yeah, I don't see a lot of...
What about Homegirl? What about the other mom?
Oh, where is she from? Let me see.
So yeah, the other actress is Krystalyn Lloyd.
I feel like I recognized her too.
So she, speaking of soap operas, she was in 178 episodes of The Bold and the Beautiful.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. But she's also done a lot of TV.
Yeah. Oh, Random Acts of Flyness. Man, I probably just saw her in that. Let me keep looking, though. Yep. Yeah. It had to be either Random Acts of Flyness. This is crazy.
No, yeah, a lot of TV. I don't know. Yeah, so...
Yeah.
A lot of unknowns, right? The Mr. Cracker is played by Elvis Nolasco.
Yes.
And yeah, he's done a lot of TV, most recently Godfather of Harlem. Which is that Forrest Whitaker show that was on, what was that on, Showtime or?
I think it was on MGM or something. Like
She's Gotta Have It.
She's Gotta Have It, All American. People love that
work.
Show.
He work, okay.
Yeah, yeah. He out here.
But again, mostly a television actor. And I guess, you know, for all intents and purposes, this is a TV movie. But
yeah.
We now blur the line of what is a TV movie. I do feel like this movie is being pushed by Hulu. It's definitely being advertised. I mean, it's Halloween, so that makes sense. Yeah. But sometimes... Hulu, Netflix, they make these movies and then they bury them. They don't, you know. But this one is definitely being promoted.
Yeah. I think social media helped. I think once the trailer came out, I saw instantly on Twitter being like, what the fuck is this? Because they have two horror movies. Is this one and Sarah, the woman who's always in those...
Sarah Paulson.
She also has one that Hulu did. But they're definitely pitching this one way more than the other one. Because I think people keep tweeting about this one.
When I saw this trailer... I was like, oh, I can't wait to watch this. I think maybe, I don't know if it's just because they were clearly black leads in this and so that we could watch it for the podcast. But like, I saw the trailer and I was like, I have to see this movie.
Same. Dude, I thought the same thing.
I had to see it.
Because also
it's a good concept.
Yeah. And like for me, as we talk about Tim Burton, I remember loving when I was younger, like Pee Wee Herman, like Pee Wee's Playhouse. And then also, like, I don't know if you remember Ernest. Like, I think he might not have been our generation. I just remember watching those movies and stuff in daycare. It was like Ernest Scared Stupid
was on TBS
Ernest
all
and
the
Pee-wee's.
Time.
Yo, I just Ernest Scared Stupid was terrifying. That fucking troll. So to see a black version, I was like, this makes total sense. Let's watch this.
This was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, no box office. This is a Hulu original. It is about a mother trying to rescue her son from a demonic children's show host who's kidnapping kids. Currently 65% on Rotten Tomatoes, so fresh.
Okay. All right.
58% audience score, though. Mm. But only 50 ratings on IMDb for the audience. So
what was the audience score, Bray?
58.
So just rotten on the audience, but fresh on the reviews.
Fresh on the critics.
All right. There's not a lot of info about this, but Gerard noted that it was a short film.
Yes, it was Hulu Short Bite Halloween special. It came out. When did the original come out?
You see it, Gerard?
I did not. Okay. But it said it came out season 3, episode 10. So it came out in 2022.
So we should be able to watch that, though, too, right? I'm going to try to watch
it. Yeah, it should be up.
Yeah.
Jonathan Raylock. James III. Gerard Milligan.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.